When supporting a loved one with feeding differences, it's easy to feel like you're alone. At Feeding Matters, our hope is for you to find the community, resources, and support that you need. Through our Power of Two parent-to-parent mentoring program, parents in need of support are matched with one of our volunteer family coaches who have lived experience with their own child and can offer emotional support, resources, and guidance to lessen the isolation that families often face with pediatric feeding disorder as well as avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. Families can request a one-time phone call or a 3-month or 6-month match by filling out the request form on our website. A family coach will make contact via text or email first to set up a phone or video call, typically within 2 to 3 days. For more information, please contact us at 623-242-5234 extension 1 or at feedingmatters.org. And please remember, you're not alone.
Presented by Feeding Matters with host Jacqueline Peterson and Dr. Haley Estrom. Feeding does matter.
Hey everyone, welcome to Feeding Does Matter. We have a great episode today. You've just got me today. Dr. Haley Estrom is traveling actually for our research consortium work with PCORI. So I am here with our very special guest, and it is the current board chair of Feeding Matters, Courtney Bliss, who is also a registered dietitian, and I'll have her tell you all about her background and what brought her to Feeding Matters. Welcome, Courtney. Great to have you.
Thank you so much. I'm excited. This is my first time on your podcast.
It is. You are a first timer on the podcast. You've done lots. You've like presented it. We had to hit the other things first. Present at conference, do an Instagram live. And we also just had our fundraiser.
We've had a
big week at Feeding Matters, Courtney and I, because we did strategic planning into fundraiser into just this is the cherry on top podcast.
It is. With you. Yes. We're getting ready for all the fun that comes these next few months. Be awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
So as Jacqueline said, I'm a pediatric registered dietitian. I have a practice here in Phoenix, Arizona, but I serve patients all over the country. I support families with PFD, ARFID. I support kids who are a little bit less severe, who families are just struggling with picky eating, or if they have some weight concerns or other health issues, and I help the parents to feel more confident, and I help the kiddos to better advocate for what they need in that feeding dynamic, as well as improving their overall nutrition. So I'm excited. One thing that I get a lot of questions about is how to manage the food around common holiday events. They are stressors for so many parents who grew up with really strict food rules and expectations, and finding a way to respectfully parent their child through these stressful situations can be really tricky. So I'm excited to share some ideas for how I support families through this and what you can do at home.
Perfect, Courtney. Thanks for joining us. And thank you for all that you do for Feeding Matters. The board chair is a volunteer position. And so Courtney does a lot of work to make sure that we are running as an organization and reaching as many families and professionals as we can. And so, yeah, as you mentioned, Courtney, we are in the midst of holiday gatherings, often holiday gatherings around food with families, with friends. I think most people think of those times as really joyful times and times that they don't get to see each other and get to sit around a table and engage with each other and have a community together. But we know for a lot of our families and our community that that presents its own set of challenges, stressors, anxiety, and a lot of like preparation and communication that needs to happen as well. So we wanted to focus today's episode on, now that we're in the holiday season, what are some tips that we can share with families, or what are some things that families have shared with us or that you share with your clients on how to prepare for any sort of gathering around this time, or how to even kind of help yourself feel and prepare yourself so that maybe you're helping your anxiety as well. So let's just get into it. How do you approach this with your clients?
So I like to have them start by considering how previous holidays or family gatherings have felt and what they wish was different. So for a lot of our families, they wish that we could just show up and serve whatever is being offered and feel confident that the kiddo would eat and not have big feelings and enjoy the time. That's not the reality for a lot of people. So I find that reflecting on that ahead of the event is tremendously helpful because then you can plan, okay, if I know they're going to have rolls at this meal and that is a safe food for my kid, I can also be sure to bring fruit of foods that they like, and I can serve a safer protein earlier in the day so that my kiddo isn't hungry and overstimulated, and I'm not worried about what they aren't eating when I should be connecting with family and enjoying the experience. So just checking in and thinking about, okay, how did I feel? How would I like to feel? And what little things can I adjust so that I can be present and set the good example for my kid of what family gatherings or friend gatherings look like without stress?
Yeah, because
so
a lot of times, because a lot of times it's, you know, around food, but there's so much more to those gatherings than food. And so if we can decenter the food of the gathering, we are still building relationships, which is still so important to our well-being.
It is. And I like to give my families a concrete thing to focus on because I find it helps take the parents out of that anxiety space of what aren't they doing. And so I say, this is an opportunity for us to practice small talk, for us to practice manners and how we connect with family members or friends that we don't see all the time. That is a wildly helpful learning experience that your kiddo can do, even if they're not participating in the other foods that are on the table. And so you can kind of shift into that parenting headspace.
Yeah, the goal is different. It's not
exactly
like we're
not
counting
calories.
Have a goal
that makes sense. We're not worried about them rejecting vegetables or any of that at that moment. It is, I'm teaching my kid to be a good human. And that is incredibly worthy. And there's nothing wrong with that, you using a holiday meal as the moment for that, because that's what your kiddo needs. So that's one thing. Another thing that I do with my families is I have them think about what conversations might be stressful the day of the event. So if you have an uncle that you only see at Thanksgiving and that uncle likes to set expectations that a child must finish their plate before they can have dessert, or things that don't align with your plans in the house, I like to have a phone call with that person ahead of time. And I have a script that I use with my families. So I lead with, I know we are going to see you at this holiday and we are so excited. We know that you love Sue or whoever baby, right? Kiddo's name, and want to support us. I want to tell you about the awesome progress that we have been making in terms of XYZ. And then giving some actionable items. So we have found it incredibly helpful if we let Susie choose what food goes on her plate and listen to her body. We've noticed that not only does she have better energy, we're having fewer meltdowns, and she actually eats better if we do this at home. I was hoping that you could support us in this and do the same thing when we're together on Thanksgiving. It leads with that love and respect of, I know that you want to support us. Here's what we're working on. Here's what works. And you offer them the opportunity to meet your request. They might not always, but you can walk into it feeling confident, like, hey, I said my piece ahead of time. Yeah. I set the boundary. And you can circle back to that if anything happens.
And you're not having to do it in the moment.
Exactly. When you're like overwhelmed.
Yeah, overwhelmed
and
with emotion.
In mama bear mode or papa bear mode, whatever. So we use that whether you're going to visit in-laws, if it's a holiday. Like that is a rinse and repeat kind of formula that I use with my families always include what you're working on, what progress you've seen, and an actionable thing on how they could be supportive. And then let them prove you right. Like, let them show you that they can do what you need.
Yeah. I love that tip.
Yeah. And then I have one that's more like a food fun activity that I do.
All right.
So this is actually featured in my holiday meals guide, which you can grab through my profile. But if you have a kiddo who, let's say their weight is stabilized, right? They're gaining weight. We're okay there. We know what foods they tolerate, what foods they don't. And you're in a space where you can begin introducing new foods or practicing food exposure. This is for you. I like to pick a dish that I know will be served at the holiday meal and build in food play activities around that food in the weeks leading up. So then when we get to the meal, it doesn't look new or scary. They still may choose not to eat it, but their anxiety is lowered because there's more things that look familiar. One of the favorite activities that kiddos have done with me is we use toothpicks and green beans and we build little log cabins. Because so many families will use like a green bean casserole or something along those lines.
Yeah, green beans all over the holiday gatherings.
It's seasonally, it's available year round. They're affordable. You can use frozen or fresh. And same with toothpicks. Like they're super easy to just grab a little box and you can build all kinds of different things. You can do it while we're watching a show or as part of feeding therapy. But it just desensitizes them that little bit and helps them feel a little bit more comfortable around another one of the foods that's being served at the table.
That's a great idea because there's so many foods that can feel scary, I think, at holiday gatherings. And you're not going to be able to do a whole test meal.
No.
Sort of thing. But if we can take one instance to reduce some of that anxiety or share that it's familiar in whatever sense that looks like, I think that that can be really beneficial as you're preparing for some of these gatherings.
Yeah. And if you have a kiddo who tolerates food exposures and you have the bandwidth as the parent or a caregiver, you can do more. But also, if you don't have the bandwidth and all you do is have conversations with those family members ahead of time and feed your kiddo before you go, you're doing great.
It's based on what your family wants and what you feel
and
like
what you
can
you have
take
the space
on.
For. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And every year will be a little bit different. So save the idea if it doesn't work this year.
Love that. These are great tips, Courtney. Do you have any others for our families?
Let's go sweets.
Yep.
A lot of the families that I work with, I joke that kids are most flexible in the sweets category. A vegetable, a fruit, a protein, they absolutely do not want different lines on it. They don't want different sauces. It has to be one way and one way only. But with candy, anything that's in a shiny little wrapper, we can be curious about. If there's chocolate involved, we can give it a try and not have big feelings if it's not exactly what we want it to be. So when we have that set up, plus a lot of my PFD, ARFID kiddos, they don't have a great sense of hunger and fullness. And so they'll ignore their hunger until there is more of a safe food and then almost binge a little bit. When Halloween comes, it tends to be a free-for-all. And parents don't know, do I limit them? Do I just let them eat it until they forget about it? I don't know. And you could do both. You absolutely could do either. You can hide it if that feels good for your family. You can let them eat it until it's all gone. You get to decide what works in your family. But when I'm working with families, what I like to do is prevent some of that overwhelming binge that happens the night of and the weeks after. And how I do that is I start serving one piece of candy a day in the weeks leading up to Halloween. Mm. I serve it out of the wrapper with a balanced meal that's all safe foods for the kiddo. Because then I'm demonstrating to those kids, this is how we put foods together in a way that fuels our body well. They get to decide if they eat it, if they eat it first, but I've set the expectation and I'm not pressuring them. I'm not making them eat all their broccoli before they have their Kit Kat. I'm not expecting them to do more than they're ready for, but I'm acknowledging there's candy everywhere right now. Everyone is stocking up on candy. Everyone's giving out sweets. And so by me actually calling it out and using it as a tool, then they're not as obsessed come Halloween because they've seen it. They've had it. They don't feel like they have to wait again till next year to experience it again. So that's another little thing. If your kid is in that category of, I love sweets almost a little bit too much, start it earlier, start it with a meal and get it out of the wrapper.
Yeah. And an opportunity to really like expand in a space that feels comfortable to expand.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I so often have families be like, well, I mean, they tried a new kind of chip or they tried a new chocolate bar. I know it doesn't count. I'm like, guys,
we got to add it to our milestone list.
Yeah. Yes. You count found successes. Something that made them feel safe and confident and curious. Mm-hmm. I will celebrate that until the cows come home. I don't care what it is. The thing is what helps us. So, yeah. Fun little things to play with there.
Well, so Halloween's a great example because I know, you know, we celebrate the Teal Project to make sure that it's, you know, that we're offering different options for those kids with food allergies. And there is such a crossover between PFD, ARFID, and food allergy.
Yes.
So let's talk maybe a little bit about allergies and maybe some of the things that you do for your younger kids versus your older kids and supporting your clients in.
Yeah. So typically, my families are the ones giving me ideas when it comes to allergy-friendly holidays. Like, they are phenomenal. And I have one family who every night or every Halloween night, they throw everything into a pile and the parents sort it all. And whoever got the candy, that part doesn't matter. It's which ones are gluten-free, which ones are nut-free. And it gets matched with the kid based on their restrictions. Like, that's the pile. I love that. I think it's a great way of, I don't know about your boys. My kids tend to get a little bit focused on, was it mine or was it brother's?
Yeah, it's a great way to show that this is for everybody and it's communal. And it's about what people need and not necessarily
and
what you've got.
Thing. Exactly.
Yeah. I love that message.
I think that's a helpful, like, I always call them like Jedi mind tricks of parenting, right? The little subtle things that we add in there. I like to have my families reach out to their classrooms and be like, hey, what do we need? Do we have safe options that other kids can bring? And that works for like Valentine's Day too, whatever holidays things might be coming in. I have one mama that I work with and she has a note in her notes app of allergy friendly gift. Like I'm thinking of, it's like little sticker pouches or temporary tattoos, little things like that. And then actual brand snacks that are allergen friendly, and then she can just send it over. It's got the links for people to use so they can order. I think it's going to depend on the type of allergy, how severe it is, and what the rest of the family dynamic looks like. But I find that just being curious, especially if you don't have an allergy kiddo, can make someone else's holiday feel safer and more enjoyable. There's tons of great resources, some great details and suggestions on allergy.
Yeah, and we've got different partner organizations that we share information on
too. Tons of people that we can connect with.
Yeah, because I think the allergy world does such a great job of really trying to allow safety and also support for those that you know may not be experiencing that. So that's definitely something we will make sure we continue to share throughout this season. So let's move on to maybe like the physical environment of like if you are hosting versus like you're going somewhere else to host? What does the conversation look like with the host? What kind of accommodations have you seen families want to request when a child maybe can be at the table or maybe can't be at the table for their specific meal needs?
Yeah.
And how important is it to make sure you're having that conversation ahead of time?
It's so important, both for how you handle it and for your kid's success, because our goal in identifying these diagnoses and supporting them is to make more positive mealtime experiences, right? Yes, to a certain degree, we want them to eat more variety, but really, I want them to not dread eating. So whatever adjustments we need to make to support them is important. If you're hosting, talk to your kiddo if that's appropriate, if you can, and say, hey, this is what Thanksgiving Day is going to look like. This is kind of our routine. This is what we've done before. I know that you've been working really hard on XYZ. What would help you to feel safe? Should we plan on moving your body earlier in the day before all the people get here so that we can get some wiggles out and some fresh air? Okay, where should we go? And holding to that as much as you can. But again, open communication with whoever it is. If you're going somewhere, similar to the conversation that we had about someone who has food rules that you don't agree with, chat with that family member or friend ahead of time and say, hey, you may understand that we're struggling with Johnny's eating. I am so excited to spend this holiday with you. There are a lot of adjustments that we've made in our home to feed Johnny in a safe and enjoyable way. And I'm wondering if we could brainstorm any changes that we might be able to make on Thursday at your house. Here are some things that help us. Are any of these feasible? I think that, again, it's this respectful way of saying, hey, this is just what we need and we're excited to be there. 9 times out of 10, the people who are inviting you over love the heck out of you and want to support you. And they're going to be very excited to have some concrete ideas.
Yeah.
On what could be supportive.
Right. I think that's a, yeah. That's something we hear a lot is like the families that feel most comfortable going over to other people's places. They are the ones that truly understand what their family experience is like and maybe have safe foods already on hand for them. But
yes.
Kind of the flip side or to a newer relationship or engagement or a newer house, mm-hmm. having that tangible strategies of this is what this looks like in our house can be helpful. Because I think sometimes people want to be supportive but may not know what that looks like if it's a world that they haven't experienced.
Absolutely.
This is just an issue that this societally we don't know about, you know, in general, the general public doesn't know as much about. So it's hard to be supportive in a very specific manner sometimes.
It is. So I think it's helpful. It also gives you the practice in setting that boundary and asserting what you need, which literally is our job as parents, right? Is to advocate for our babies. And so I'd say do this at least a week ahead of time if you can, because whoever's hosting is not getting everything together the day before. They already have stuff brewing in their mind. And so if you can partner earlier, right, maybe you can be in charge of a dish that ends up being your kiddo's safe food. And then you can practice it with them at home in your setting and do that.
And it's okay to ask for like a safe space.
Yes. Yes.
I didn't like feeding George in front of other people because it just was
it just didn't feel good.
Yep. No. And so it's okay to have like a safe space.
Yes, I love a safe space. Things we've also used for families is planning in a walk or playtime outside. That physical movement is so helpful for nervous system regulation, for just overall health. And so building that in, hey, are we planning on eating at this time? Do you think we could plan to bring the kiddos outside for a little bit at this time? Does that work with our schedule? Right? All of those pieces are going to help make sure the mealtime is more enjoyable for everyone. So play with those ideas and see what
great
what
ideas.
You guys come up with. Yeah.
Yep, for sure. Anything that you didn't get a chance to share as we start to kind of close out here? Because this is really helpful for families.
Yeah.
And even for adults, you know, if you're an adult that has yes. ARFID and you are thinking about this, like, especially if you're a young adult and really, I think in that space, you're learning how to set boundaries in general, as well mm-hmm. as boundaries around food.
Yes.
I think a lot of it is a lot of communication and planning, and mm-hmm. that's a mental load that everybody in this yeah. world carries. And hopefully you've got people around you that understand it, and this can help that.
It can.
I think the last podcast.
Yeah, send them. I think the last takeaway that I would share is I think of the feeding development and all of those pieces involved, like parenting through it. I think of it as a spiral, right? So we can go really slow up the spiral. We can go really fast downward if there's an illness or we have a really negative situation. But even if you feel like you are stuck in the same spot as you have been for years, I want you to kind of think of the spiral. You may be one rung up. You may not be very far from where you've been in the past, but you're slowly moving. You're increasing your awareness and your acceptance of your journey with your kiddo. You're increasing their acceptance of themselves. There's new strategies you've tried in the last year. They may not have all worked, but you tried them, you followed through, and you got more data. So picture the spiral when you feel stuck and remind yourself you're not. We're just moving slowly. And think of where we might be a week from now, 2 weeks from now. There's always movement and it'll be always, okay.
Yeah. Movement and a slow pace is okay.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be super fast.
Yeah, for sure.
They don't need that. We're not in a marathon situation here. No. We are in a marathon. We're not in a sprint.
Well, Courtney, it's a pleasure to have you on. And yes. thank you so much for sharing this with our community and for all you do for your patient caseload and then for Feeding Matters community in general. I'm sure we'll have you back, but
yes.
it's been a pleasure to have you. And
it was awesome.
Thank you, all of you who are listening. And, you know, we're with you during this holiday season. If you do need to reach out and talk to someone who gets it, please know that we're here for you. You can reach Absolutely. Out to us on Instagram. You can reach out to us on our website or be connected with a parent coach or mentor. Now, Courtney, you mentioned your holiday guide. Do you want to share how yeah. people can access that and what your handle
sure.
is?
Sure. So I am on Instagram at Feeding Bliss, BLISS. And there's a link for the workbook in my bio there. There's also some highlights if you want to go peruse through there. I've got a whole one for Halloween. I've got a whole one just for navigating holidays and that food play we talked about. And I'm also in the DM. So if you've got something, let me know. If you found me through the podcast, come say hi. Say hello. Let me know you're here and what you thought. I'd love to hear from you.
Great. Well, thank you, everyone, and we'll see you next week.
All right.